Long gone are the days where you can just shut down. Bitches is not tolerating that. Like, it used to be where men provided financially or with schmeat, and bitches can make their own self come, and we can pay for our own shit. So I'm gonna need y'all to catch up on the emotional part. If a bitch is telling you, I need you to communicate more, open your fucking mouth. But you know what I realized? And let me back up. A common misconception about me as a clinician is that 90% of my clientele have been men, black men specifically. And what we specifically work on is expanding their emotional vocabulary, because a lot of y'all motherfuckers don't even have the words to express how you're feeling. So when you expand your vocabulary and knowledge of what you are experiencing, because y'all are human beings who experience feelings and emotions and don't have to choke that shit down no more. Y'all ain't had to choke that shit down since 2016. Anyway, if y'all are not in
What is going on, men? It's your boy, Crimson. Now, here's the fucking problem with what she just said. You see, the only time a man learns a skill is to use it as a weapon. Let me repeat that. The only time a man is going to use it as a skill is to use it as a weapon. For example, when I learned carpentry, I did it so that I can learn how to protect myself from motherfuckers trying to scam me, from having to need somebody else for help for protecting my own home, right? Same thing with plumbing, and same thing with, car detailing and all this stuff. I just wanted to protect myself from being scammed. To be able to be independent. To be able to take care of shit on my own. Let's fast forward. From the shit that I've seen from other men, the only time they ever take the time to learn about something is to protect themselves. To get knowledgeable about something. If they're about to jump in and do something, they want to be knowledgeable about it, right? Rather it be losing weight, rather it be gaining muscle, rather it be doing a bunch of stuff. They want to learn how to be a lethal weapon. They want to learn how to look big, intimidating, or it's not even about that. Let's just say it's about physique, it's about looking good, it's about looking your best. But the end result, whether you know it or not, is to look intimidating. Whether you accept that or not. When somebody tries to bullshit you about a car, you know better. It becomes a weapon, whether you want it to or not. When somebody tries to scam you, let's say if I go over to your house and I say, yeah, replacing that 2x4 is going to cost you like $700. Immediately, you guys are going to fucking recoil at that. Do you want to know why? It's because you know that a 2x4 only costs a certain amount of money. Rock sheet or drywall only costs, maybe $5, $10 at most for a piece of rock sheet. The plasters, a small box of plaster is going to cost $10. The water's free. You can mix the shit in a bucket or a bowl. The paint is only going to cost like $12 to cover the sheet. The sandpaper, fuck, you don't even really need sandpaper if you do a good enough job with the plastering. You could borrow a drill gun, you could buy a small box of screws, you can even buy the screws independently. But you know how much that fucking job is going to cost, and at most, maybe $200. Plus, that's including labor. Do you see what I'm saying? You just became a weapon. You just weaponized the knowledge of what you just learned. You were able to protect yourself. Now, I've seen this time and time again from every man that I've ever met. The fucking skills that they learn are incredible. You men have, like, an incredible library in your head. Sometimes, maybe it's not a... some of you guys just don't do a very good job of articulating it. But the wealth of knowledge that is inside that fucking head of yours is just... There's a reason why if I were to be stuck on an island with a chick or a dude, it would be most likely a fucking dude. Because there's no fucking end to how expansive that vocabulary of... Or excuse me, how expansive the knowledge that I would gain. Even if I were to get stuck with the dumbest man possible, to bring him up to speed, like some of my friends, to bring him up to speed with a lot of shit, doesn't take much time. They actually become more creative because of their hurdles. See what I'm saying? And to a man, there's no excuse. Rather you have ADD or you were born slow or whatever, there's no excuse. And the fact that that exists, there's no excuse. That only exists in our culture as men. There is no excuse. That's what I love about being a fucking man. So, let me give you a second. When we created radio waves, or when we discovered radio waves, we figured out a way how to harness it. And from harnessing it, we created television, the radio, the telegraph. Well, telegraph works differently. Created terrestrial radio, ways to communicate, and above all else, weaponry. See what I mean? In the theater of war, we have managed to take everything that we have learned and turn it into a weapon. Now, that's not a negative thing. I don't see it as negative. Every fucking peacekeeper would fucking say otherwise, but I disagree. You need to have an advantage. And if you could take something and turn it into something useful, like art, the OSS, I forget what the abbreviation stands for, but the OSS was, as a matter of fact, there was a ghost unit in World War II where they would make the United States military seem more vast than it really was, and they used inflatable, I forgot what they were called, but they used a ghost as their emblem to describe their unit. And what they did was they created inflatable tanks, you know, cardboard soldiers. What was it? Like one time they had a campfire and they had a radio blasting to signify, on the radio, it had like dialogue from soldiers and all this other stuff. And they would blare that to make it seem as though there was an encampment there. And it fooled the German soldiers into thinking, you know, that there was a military force there, and they would try to go around that, try to avoid it. And they had huge success with that. And that was with art. That was with creativity. So even art was weaponized. And through that unconventional style of warfare, they discovered, well, what else can we do? Propaganda. Propaganda became, you know, telling, the art of telling lies became a weapon. The art of social drama became a weapon. Deception became a weapon. Everything that a man learns in his life, he turns into a weapon to protect himself. Now, what this girl is suggesting, right?
Say you need to expand your emotional vocabulary, and so your life can be easier. The Don't you want to be able to communicate with your bitch? I think yes, right?
You know, you don't understand how often I see fucking, especially my boss, talk to women. Not in a bad light. He talks to women because he wants to fuck them. He talks to women because he wants to fuck them. He has managed to figure out a way to take his addiction and take it to the next level. His addiction is pussy and female attention, female validation. Because he has no validation, right? The only validation he gets is from the women that he fucks. And let me tell you this. The bigger the selection and the bigger the library, the more insecure the man. Which is the reason why they need money, wealth, and all this other shit to protect themselves. It's because they're not really men. They're insecure children. They're afraid of not having enough. They're afraid of not being able to attract the right people, not looking prestigious enough. And this is why their entire fucking game and frame is, look at what I own. Look at the shape that I'm in. Look at how vastly wealthy I am. Look at all this success that I have. And it was all by duping every single one of us. Well, maybe not you. Maybe not you on the other side of this screen, because you were smart enough to sit back and wait to see what would come from it. But I was definitely one of those guys that would turn to David Weigand. He was the original pickup artist on the internet. The original motherfucker. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can find it. So this is David Weigand.
There's a saying that I have, and I've said it 1,000 times. He who hesitates masturbates, okay? You're either mentally masturbating or you're physically masturbating that night. If you don't own your words, and I watch guys do this all the time, they'll go in and you'll start to try, kind of approach a girl. It's the kind of approach, right? And that little monkey inside of you is jerking off going, don't do it, don't do it. And then the other little monkey's going, yes, you can. And the other little monkey goes, no, you can't, right? So you're mentally masturbating. So you walk into a place and you're full of anxiety. I can feel anxiety. I see anxiety. I smell anxiety on human beings every single day. So when you walk in there, you don't do anything. You just kind of meander around for 5 minutes. And then what happens is, sales girl or somebody you want to talk to literally realizes that you've been mentally masturbating the entire time, and she feels your energy of being sluggish and insecure because you're afraid of owning your words, right? So what I just do is I walked in there and I did the 2017 trick. Right? No matter what year you're born, you basically will equal up to 2017. And so your oldest born in 15, 17.
All right, that's enough. But who does he sound like? I followed that guy back in 2008. I followed him for 6 months. I paid into his program to figure out the art of picking up women. And all it was just confidence, dude. I was already in the age bracket. This fucker won't tell you this. I will, and here it is for free. The age bracket for horny ass fucking teenagers and women are between the ages of, for chicks is definitely going to be 14 to 30 or 35, right? And for dudes, it's between like 16 and I don't know, forever, I guess. But the best time to pick up on a chick is in her early or late teens, early 20s. The reason being is because they have nothing, and they're fucking desperate and starving for knowledge and wealth. And if they can get knowledge and wealth while simultaneously having fun, like a field trip, that kind of a fucking fun, that's the way you got to picture every time you go up to a chick. Invite her to a field trip. And by the way, no one taught me this. I had to learn it through listening to dickheads like this fucking go on paying for a $250 program only to figure this out on my own. Think about it this way. you have $50. How can you turn that into a field trip experience with a girl that you really like? You go up to her. You're like, hey, do you like to eat? More than likely she does, especially if she's fat. I'm just saying. That's why I like chubby cheesing. So in any case, you say, all right, now let me, what would I tell you if I got this fucking badass restaurant in mind? How about I invite you to go eat with me over here at the blah, 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 blah. And so you take her. You take her to the fucking ramen shop. You take her to the pho restaurant. You take her there. You get to know her, right? You invest in her. You make her laugh. You act goofy or whatever. And then this is what I always do. I pay for the tab ahead of time. That way we could just walk the fuck out. And it creates a memory in their head like, wait, did we just fucking seriously walk out and not pay for anything? Don't answer the question if they say, did you pay for it? You just walk the fuck out. Say thank you and you walk out. What I used to do is I used to excuse myself, or I would buy the food early, right? Order exactly what I needed, especially at this one pho shop where the register is like literally within eye view. I would say, look, these are the items. I would pull out the menu and say, look, these are the items. This is what I usually pick. This is the safest route you can go. And I would recommend you pick a side or an appetizer. I'm going to go use the restroom. We'll go wash my hands. I'll be right back. I'd go pay the tab. $40, you know, over. Or like $20 to $30 over, right? To cover. I'd go to the bathroom. I'd come back. The girl would usually pick what I'd pick, plus an appetizer. And then I'd pick, you know, whatever I would get. And it would usually come out to about $25. A bowl of pho is only, well, at the time was only $7. Right? Plus since pho's already got water in it, I never bought anything to drink. They would usually get a drink plus the appetizer, which is another $7. So 7, 14, 21. 21 plus the $2 soda. That's like 23. There you go. And I just paid $30. That's the tip. You order your food. You know, you've already paid for the fucking, for the meal. And then you walk the fuck out. And it creates a lasting impression with them. And here's the thing. You're not asking to fuck them. You're asking them to take you, you know, to, you're inviting them with your time and your money to go have food. That's all you're doing. You're treating them to a fun time. More than likely, you're going to get laid. And no one ever taught me this. I had to learn it on my own. Because David Weigand would sit there and tell you the shit that he just spoke to you. He speaks in fucking, you know, metaphors and hyperbole and all this other bullshit. And he's been doing this since the beginning. And the other thing that he used to do, like now he dresses down, he dresses his age. Well, not really. Still dresses like a PUA, right? He used to run around dressing in fucking like flamboyant fucking bootcut jeans with the cowboy boots and the fucking tight-ass, tight shirt to show off his physique. And his shirt would say something stupid and he would wear outlandish fucking like bright pink, bright neon pink fucking sunglasses to get attention. And back in the early and late 2000s, that was the way to do things. Or excuse me. Like, yeah, in 2008, early 2000s, that was the way to go. You had to dress outlandish, you know, like a typical PUA to get attention. Now girls don't go for that shit. It's all about what you can do to lie to them. How many lies can you spin and make it believable? You got to take them up to the apex and say, oh, but, you know, it's slightly out of reach, but it's almost there. And the moment you keep doing that, the more you have them on the hook, right? No one's ever going to tell you that. You have to pay for their courses. You have to do this bullshit. You have to fucking... And the way that you put it into practice is literally just going out there and doing it. And no one's going to... Like, dude, he didn't even tell me that. I had to figure it out. But do you want to know something that he also didn't tell me? When you're a young guy and you have money, the world is your fucking oyster. because I can't tell you how many fucking older women would just flock to me because they didn't have to pay for shit. And I would, and the reward was sex, and it was easy. To them, it was like, dude, for the price of fucking this young guy who has tons of money and him paying for everything, yeah, I'm going to put out. And for a young girl, it was like, dude, this guy just paid for everything. Like, and I like him, and he's funny. Like, I definitely want to keep this guy. Sex was so easy. And the older I got, the more I noticed that that wasn't enough. These girls expected more. The older you get, the more that they expect. It's like when you sit there and you say, well, I'm in my 20s, you know, but I've got like 10 grand a month coming in. Those girls are like, okay, well, you know, he's on his path. But as I'm older and I'm like, well, like, I only bring in like 2,500 a month, they're like, fucking deadbeat, and they move on. No one ever taught me that. The 20-year-old girls are still horny. The 30-year-old women are still desperate and thirsty. No one's going to drink from my watering hole. Why? Because I don't have anything else to offer. Other than just time and validation. Which was abundant, you know, when you have money. Remember what I told you about the way that women see God. The only fucking God that they worship is the guy that's on the $100 bill. So if you can bend it and they can leech off of you, that is what they're doing. They're trying to fucking get the attention and the validation from you, from the gods that you have in your fucking account. That's it. That's what fucking all those PUAs will never tell you. The absolute God's honest truth. And by the way, this guy, he's telling you all this bullshit, but the only fucking time that this shit ever works is with desperate women. And if you've ever seen his work, I haven't seen him in fucking ages, but every fucking PUA, they go to bars, they go, you know, they go to the fucking mall to, like, these expensive parts of town and whatever. In other words, he picks on people that are trying to live above their means, that are trying to look bougie, that are trying to fit in, or that make really disastrous personal choices in life. He hangs out at bars. He hangs out at fucking clubs. He hangs out at the bougiest shops, at the pool, where, like, you know, the girl who's trying to get the most attention, she's got her tits out and her fucking thong out. And he strikes up a conversation just so nonchalant. Right? And the end goal is like, hey, what's your name? How you doing? That's good. Like, hey, do you like eating? Like, you know, what's your favorite meal? Oh, that's cool. So you like... So, and then he does the push-pull. In other words, he asks a question, an open-ended question. He reciprocates back and he says, okay, so you're stop... And he'll mirror back to them what he heard, and then immediately say, like, I know a fantastic place that serves this and this. Would you be interested in joining me on a meal? And that's it. He seals the deal within, like, a couple fucking minutes. And it always fucking works. Why? It's not because of what he said. It's because he's approaching these fucking deadbeat loser ass women. He'll never tell you that. He'll never teach you how to select somebody who's looks emotionally desperate. And the only reason why he knows why the like which women to approach is because he's broken him fucking self. Think about it. Look at the way he dresses, right? He could have worn a fucking regular jacket. Could have taken off the jacket, rolled up his sleeves. First off, there's no reason to wear a jacket in the mall. Could have rolled up his sleeves. Left the jacket, you know, rolled up his sleeves, but decided to wear not just a jacket, not just any jacket, but a fucking leather jacket. Right? Which shows a modicum of prestigiousness. By the way, he used to have long hair. Now he cut his hair. But this PUA motherfucker does exactly what that therapist said. He knows how to speak the language of women. Why? Because he weaponized his addiction. And this is what that chick won't fucking tell you. Is there what nobody tells this chick is that when you try to get a fucking guy who's already broken to move, he's going to move and turn it into a weapon. Just like my boss. He knows how to talk to women, he knows how to bullshit them, he knows how to do all this other stuff because he is a broken man seeking to repair himself. The only way he knows how to repair himself is through other women's validation. Just like a narcissist. But guess what happens? That validation isn't enough. It depletes. It goes away. So he needs another charge. He needs somebody else to fucking come and fix him. Well, let's see if there's any more dumb bullshit that this guy peddles.
When do I take off her clothes? When do I rip off her clothes? How do I rip off her clothes? And you know what I forgot during this whole process? What I wanted. How did I want a woman to seduce me? For a moment now, I want you guys to write something down. How I want to be seduced. Not me, because I ain't telling you. I don't want to be seduced by any of you guys, okay? But I want you all to write down. I want you to do something different. I want you to write down how you want to be seduced. Let's say your fantasy girl is standing right in front of you right now. She's beautiful. She's your vision of beauty. She's exactly what you want. Okay? How do you want her to seduce you? How do you want her to come on to you? How do you want to feel in her presence? What do you want her to do to you? Do you want her to bend down on her knees?
You see what I mean? It's bullshit rhetoric. You won't get to the fucking point because he's trying to sell you some bullshit snake oil. And that's like I told you. Look at the way he dresses. Fucking tight shirt, fucking flamboyant jeans. I don't know if you... Well, let's see. I guess it's the top shot every goddamn time. He used to wear fucking flared bell bottoms.
Don't you just love having women as friends? Especially the ones that you're really attracted to. You know, the girl that you've always dreamt of being with. She's cute. She's like 5'3", 5'4". You give her a little hug and go, man, I had a good time. And you don't ask her out again for another week. And then you casually ask her out and say, hey, maybe we'll go get some coffee again sometime. Friend zone. You know how you avoid the friend zone? You claim her like a real man does. You step up to the plate and you ask her out. I don't care how nervous you are. You meet a girl. You're interested in her. You look at her and say, give me your phone number. I'd like to take you out. That's a man. You end up in...
What did I tell you? What did I fucking tell you? It's all about confidence. But the thing is, the women that he picks are fucking broken, dude. There used to be the seminar that he would give out in Los Angeles, and I paid for it and couldn't show up because I was busy with work. I was busy making money, so I had to give that up. And in exchange for giving that up, you know, he posted what I missed out on his site, and I went and looked at it, and all it was just everybody dressing like a bunch of fucking goofballs. They all went to this sunglasses shop, and dude, they all picked the most ridiculous fucking sunglasses. This one guy had like a 2008 set of sunglasses. Another guy had like sparkles and stuff, and he's like, what are you doing? You're sitting at home just bored out of your mind. We're out here having fun, picking up chicks. And I was like, oh god, this is fucking cringe. Like, dressing like a complete fucking idiot. And it was just it was him showing other guys how to pick up on girls. And him, you know, when the guys would fail, he would take the girl aside with the guy and say, "All right, my buddy just tried to pick up on you. Like, where did he fuck up?" It was really fucking hideously horrible. Because the reason why the guy didn't have self-confidence to do it is because he felt no energy. He felt no connection. The guy was an introvert, just like everybody else. He could afford the ticket, so he's a hard-working man. But he was being taught by a fucking pickup artist how to pick up broken women. Women that he did not connect with. He connects with socially shy women, right? So where the fuck would you find socially shy women? Bookstores. By the way, out here in Nevada, especially in Vegas, we have a bunch of board game stores. Yeah. Yeah. Stores that specialize in board games and, like, role play and all that shit. You know how many hot-ass fucking girls go in there? And I'm talking, like, oh my god, Star Wars and Star Trek. Like, those kind of girls. Huge tits, nice ass, nice figure. Just nerds. Complete fucking nerds, dude. Why didn't he take her there? Or why didn't he take him there? Why did he have to go down Hollywood Boulevard and picking up the most broken motherfuckers on planet Earth? A girl who's sitting at a coffee shop, you know, just sitting there by herself, desperately looking for attention, and all of a sudden a pack of dudes shows up, and she's like, oh my god, like, why are they all dressed so fucking weird? And the guy just awkwardly just, would you care to join me for dinner? And the girl's like, first off, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are you guys all wearing sunglasses like that? Like, are you guys setting me up? Is this like a fucking candid camera moment? Like, immediately the girl just goes into defensive mode, right? And I can't tell you how fucking hysterical it was to see that. Like, but why didn't he take the guy to a place where there's girls that are literally within his preference or choice? He never asked him, hey, what do you like to do? Well, then let's go to a fucking Comic-Con and go fucking pick up chicks at the Comic-Con. You know what I mean? Get in shape. Start off there. Didn't fucking say that. Hey, come on, let's go pick up chicks at the fucking... And just, what was it? I don't know if you guys have ever seen that fucking King of the Hill episode. Hold on.
Get you back on track. You don't be talking about no secret that ain't strong enough for man, but that was made for woman, you know?
There really is a secret to getting women? Please, I need to know. I won't tell anyone. I swear.
Hey, man, there ain't no joke about here, man. No, I'm talking about you going to take me on a solemn oath, man. Talking about that old B.
I, Bobby Hill.
Now, I'm going to cross my dang old heart talking about that pledge of allegiance to you. What, man?
Do solemnly swear.
We should have given Bobby a pager. He might have become a drug dealer, but at least...
I'm talking about don't give them digits, man.
Why don't you go home and take another cologne bath?
You just got blown off 3 times.
Yeah, I hope so.
Ow, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, man, or maybe I don't show you something on size boom.
Oh, you don't work here. Get away from my feet.
Hey, that's Boomhauer's car.
Shut up, man. You gonna tell my little secret, man?
You know what, Mr. Boomhauer? I'm pretty sure this is not the way I'm gonna find real love.
Oh, what are you talking about? A damn love?
Well, in any case, Bobby ends up figuring out that the way he picks up on chicks is that he plays the numbers game, right? Goes to a mall, starts just fucking running the numbers. Out of the fucking 20 chicks that he hits on, it's like putting a job in, it's like putting in a job application. For every 25 applications you get, next week you're gonna get at least, if you put in 25 applications a day for 7 days, by next week you'll have at least, you know, 4 or 5 job interviews. It's a full-time job, trying to get a full-time job. So, like I said, sorry, dude, it's just fucking stupid. What that chick is trying to tell you, right? The chick that we saw in the beginning is no different what fucking Boomhauer is trying to pull, is no different than fucking what David Wigand is trying to pull, is no different than what my boss is trying to do, is no different than the fucking PUAs, dude. They just want you stuck. Eventually, a guy's going to figure out a way how to weaponize, you know, his emotional, whatever the fuck she said. What did she say? Emotional IQ? Yeah, I'm going to need you to expand your emotional vocabulary. I can't tell you how many times I hear my fucking boss spit some game. And I'm like, wow, that was pretty accurate, you know? And it comes from years of experience of just, like, tapping into a woman's insecurity, articulating it, and then being able to come out with something positive in the end and saying, I'm not that guy, baby. You know what I mean? Girl, I can tell you that out of the some odd years that we've been on this earth, I can understand how many men have come and lied and slipped you some shit. Have promised you the stars and promised you, you know, like whatever the fuck else they would say, right? Made all these guarantees and all these pacts and have always broke your heart. I get it. That's why you've got your walls up on me. But I'm not them. I didn't hurt you, baby. And I so solemnly swear the blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Just fucking stupid bullshit. And it's always going to be the most emotionally... it's like the most emotionally unavailable women that he picks on. Because he knows that those women are broken by a fucking alpha. A guy that, you know what, not even an alpha. A woman just as broken as he was. Or as she was. She identified with it, she tried to fix him, didn't work, the guy fucked off, and now its mission failed. Hold on.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
See what I mean? And so that fucking failure always sticks with them inside their head.
All warfare is based on...
Fuck. That was weird. I've fucking seen it and heard it, and the fact that this chick doesn't understand that she should stick with women and preach her bullshit. She should talk to women and spit that fucking bullshit. Because her talking to men about what they need to do and what they... Trust me when I say this, she doesn't realize what she's doing. She's building a fucking army of fucking sex addicts. Can't tell you how many times I fucking hear, like, my buddy at work. Here, let me give you another story. So my buddy and I, we went out to this, concert. And he met a chick, and the chick, oh yeah, I think I told you about her. She was basically being a piece of shit right from the jump. And he's trying to tell me without telling me. Well, basically, she was being a rude piece of shit. You know, my buddy takes me home. He goes back to the bar to try to hit on her. And
Yeah. Takes her to the fuck, you know, they go out. They hang out. Shit doesn't go right. She's talking about, you know, dating sucks in 2020 or whatever the fuck. And here, check this out. My buddy's still married. He's gonna go through a divorce. And he's telling me that he's hanging out with her without telling me, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna go to this show. I'm gonna go, you know, with this one chick and blah, blah. I met this girl, blah, blah. So he's telling me he's met this girl, and then finally he kind of slipped up and he was like, yeah, dude, this girl's perfect. She's just like me. And I looked at him and I was like, oh, yeah? And I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck has he met who's just like him? The day he told me he was going to file for a divorce was 2 weeks ago. How the fuck did he find somebody within 2 weeks? This is what's going on in my head, right? And I'm looking at him, and of course we've all been there, dude. You and I have been there. We're so desperate to fucking, like, recover from the pain of loss and failure and not wanting to be alone that we end up going to another fucking dead-end failure. So we go to that chick, or he goes to that chick, right? And he's telling me that she's perfect, she's just like him, and all this other stuff, and I'm just looking at him like, hey man, be careful. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm just like, look dude, I don't doubt that you're happy, I'm glad that you're happy, but just be careful, dude. My biggest fear, my biggest worry, my biggest scare is that you get involved with the chick who isn't exactly what you think it might be. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, dude, what if... And this is a big if. What if it doesn't work out? Like, what if she's lying to you? What if she's pretending to be somebody that she isn't? And he's like, nah, man, that's not the case. Come on, man. Like, she's... I'm like, no. I'm not saying that it is. Just saying what if. Don't put your eggs in one basket. That's all I'm saying. Go out there, dude. You just met this one girl and all of a sudden she's the one. Go out there. Get... Now that you've got that momentum, go out there and just, you know, keep playing the fucking game, bro. Go have fun before you lock yourself down again. And he's like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, I already think, like, I like her and all this other shit. And I'm like, okay, all right. That's cool. That's fine. Whatever. And then he said something. He said something that she said. Wasn't that she was bipolar? Well, he said that she's bipolar, and I just looked at him. I was like, bro, crazy pussy's the best pussy, but just fucking relax, would you? He said something that she said, and it set off my alarm bell. It set off my fucking alarm, because she only told me when my buddy stepped away from the table to go get some beers. She only said it to me, and it set off my alarm, and I was just like, oh my god, it's her. So basically, she's basically just trying to fuck him to get over whatever hump she's in. Because she's hurt and in pain herself. And guess who she picked? Somebody who's also hurt and in pain and going through a divorce. So they picked each other. And where did they fucking pick each other up at? At a bar. People that are in hurt, or people that are hurt and in pain. People that are fucking looking to socialize, looking to go to, like, you know, do this other bullshit. Looking to have fun and just drown out the pain with fucking booze, fun, and social. And dude, it was really painful watching my buddy, like, try to spit game at chicks. It wasn't even that. It was just like a very predatorial, hi. And I'm like, god damn, bro. Hold on. Let me set the tone a little bit. you know, like, the fucking waitress would come by and I would, like, strike up a conversation and it would be really fucking, like, fun and exciting. And then all of a sudden I'd be like, hey, you know, my buddy's got his eye on you. And I wanted to ask if it would be impossible if you would just, you know, spend some time with him, get to know him. Like, oh, you know what? I would, but I'm on the clock. And I'm like, it's understandable. Totally cool. And I didn't realize, like, what I was doing was I was just, like, getting this girl all hyped up for me and then just cutting her fucking legs short and, like, actually, I'm only doing this because my friend likes you. Like, oh, you're setting the tone, like, for him? No, I'm good. Okay, so going back to speaking the common language of fucking emotional intellect. This girl is broken, my buddy's broken, and guess what she did? She picked another married guy going through a divorce. Why? That was the first guy that she picked. That was the fucking first guy that she picked when we were at the table talking and my buddy went to go get beer. She was like, I went out, you know, I was like formally married to this guy whose kids didn't appreciate me. And I was like, because you weren't their mom. Why were you trying to be their mom? Well, they needed a mother. The mother was a drug addict and a piece of shit. And I was like, how do you know that? Was it because he said it? How do you know that? She was like, well, because she was on drugs. I'm like, and how do you know he didn't push her into that direction? And check this out. Because I know a lot of us want to take the guy's side, right? He was a fucking biker. What kind of fucking, like, what do you think? And I mean, like, a biker, like in a biker club. What kind of culture do you think surrounds that? Drugs and mayhem. Not all the time. Not all the time. But the way she described it was like, it's hard to get him under control and blah, blah, blah. And you know, the kids didn't like her because it wasn't the mom. And the mom was trying to fucking get her shit together. So I'm just there telling her, like, dude, so you tried to be a mother to kids that weren't yours? Kids that didn't like you? Like, why the fuck did you stay? Because I really wanted them to like me. And I'm like, let me guess, now that they're all grown up, you're like, all right, it's over. It's time for me. It's me time. She's like, yeah, no, and you know, and she was talking to me like I was understanding her, but I was being condescending. I was like, oh, and so like what, you can't get over the pain of the fucking loss, so now you're over here trying to drown your sorrows. Oh my God, like you get me. And I'm like, no, I don't. I really don't, dude. She's like, well, what the fuck? You're in the bar too. And like, look, I'm at the bar because my buddy asked me to come hang out with him. You know what I'm usually doing right now? I'm working out or I'm pulling in overtime. I'm a fucking workaholic. I don't have time for this shit. I'm only here because my buddy needs me. And as soon as I said that, my buddy comes back. He's dropping off like 4 beers. He's like, here, do you want one? And of course it's Bud Light. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. I got ethics and principles to live by. If I get a hangover from this piece of shit, well, first off, I won't be able to live with myself if I drink it. And secondly, if I get a hangover from this beer, I'm going to be even double pissed tomorrow. And he starts laughing, right? And I'm like, it's the ethics and the principles that are behind this. And so they start talking back and forth about their divorces and their breakups and their fucking bonding. And I'm just zoned the fuck out at this point. The only fucking thing that they're bonding over right now is trauma. Trauma bonding. What does that sound like? Narcissistic fucking 101. Love bombing. How do they love bomb? Trauma bonding. They talk about their pain. They don't want to talk about the greatest shit they've ever done, the happiest fucking moments of their life, like what they're fucking... No. They want to talk about the last person that broke their heart. The last fucking relationship they were in. The last bit of pain that they were in. And I'm like, no. You're not going to try to trick me. There's nothing that you and I have in common. Absolutely nothing. And my buddy's sitting there thinking, whoa, she's the one. And I'm like, what? How the fuck do you know that? You just met the girl. And not only that, you just met her, and she sought you out. And the only reason why she sought you out was because you were broken. It sucks. So in any case, this guy, my buddy's like in love with her, right? And I already see the warning signs. I already know what's going to happen. I can already foreshadow this shit in the future. It's going to be great in the beginning. The honeymoon phase is going to last a few months, and then it's going to taper down, and then all their problems are going to surface to the top. And by that point, they have already established a relationship of fucking with each other, with having no self-boundaries or respect or anything like that towards one another. And they're just going to keep fucking with each other and keep fucking with each other and keep poking the bear and keep doing it until finally one of them snaps. I've already seen this shit. I've been through it. I've heard it. And I'm like, dude, why are you picking this girl? You don't know anything about her other than the fact that she went through the exact same pain that you went through. That's not something to bond over. It's not. It's not something to fucking build a relationship on. It's not something to fucking love someone over. It's disgusting. I'm still trying to remember what he said that triggered it. That triggered, like, oh, fuck, it's her? I can't remember. I was so tired when he was talking to me, and I really care about my friend. So many cases. Oh, that's what it was. She said dating in Vegas is hard. Or, like, dating in Vegas is trash or whatever the fuck. And he said, like, yeah, well, she thinks that dating in Vegas is whatever. And I looked at him, and I was just like, oh, yeah? And I started smiling because I knew who he was talking about. And I go, well, look, dude, it's not that dating in Vegas sucks. Where the fuck are you picking up these people? Sure shit, not at church. You can't pick up anyone of quality at a fucking bar, first off. Secondly, you can't pick up anybody who's gone through the exact... Like, if your sole base... If your sole base of picking a girl or a person is solely based on what pain you both have gone through? Like, oh, we both went through that struggle. Did you go through it together? No? Then that's not something to fucking bond over. That's something that you do with your spouse, with your wife. It's like, fuck, dude, we just went through this shit together. Let me bond with you. Right? It's like we just went through this incredible journey together of pissing each other off, getting to know one another, and trying to build off of that. Like, and not build off of it, but try to recover from it together. A mutual understanding, a mutual respect, a new form of self-discovery. A new reason to say, hey, you know what? I actually have more respect for you, sweetheart, because I didn't know I was doing that. And the fact that you were tough enough to say, hey, I don't like it when you do that because it does this and it reminds me of this, and when you do that it makes me snap and I don't want to do that. Please don't put me in that position. Do you see what I mean? One or two, three, four journeys of that builds a bond together. It's like fucking cement or an epoxy. It's just layer upon layer of just bonding. To the point where you know the person like your best fucking friend. But to go through the pain and then jump ship and then, oh yeah, I went through that same shit, and then bond together, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. Because now what that person is trying to do, especially my buddy, he's trying to recover from his pain through taking it out on the next chick he's with. And I already hear them, like, bickering and arguing. And he's like, yeah, dude, she snaps at me all the time. And I'm like, then that means she's not ready for a relationship. But you know what, man? That's all on you. You can make the call. And I just looked at him like, has she sucked your dick yet? And he's like, well, no, not really. And I was like, then what the fuck? Like, what is she waiting for? Well, it's not just about that. And I'm like, well, it is for me. And I'm like, look, dude, it's not about that. It isn't. Because this is about you and your journey and your peace and you being happy. But I'm here to tell you that if she hasn't sucked my dick by, like, literally the day I met her, it's time to move on. Because a broken woman, there's nothing that I can gain from that situation other than a broken relationship. So if you're not here to suck my dick, then you're not really here for anything other than just wasting my time. However, if it's a chick that I know isn't broken and is looking to build a relationship with, that's the kind of woman that I would wait for. Yeah, I'm going to invest my time and my energy into that. Because she's not all fucked up. She actually wants to see if I'm suitable enough to build this relationship with. And yeah, a lot of you guys can sit there and say, well, you know, there's all these other factors, right? I'm just generalizing. I'm leaving out the nuances to sort of just, chug along here. Of course, there's submissiveness and, like, the body count thing and all that. You know, does she take the vax, right? What principles and morals do you live? There's a lot of that, right? I'm just trying to chug along here. Because this video's already fucking long and you guys have better shit to do. God damn it. I didn't realize... Sorry, guys, if you guys can hear the fucking buzzing in the background. I didn't realize that was going on because I was going on my fucking rant. Fucking cocksuckers. Well, any case, my biggest thing is that I hear this coming out of my buddy's mouth, right? My buddy's sitting there telling me all this shit, and I'm feeling a certain kind of empathy towards him, because he's my best friend, and holy fuck, dude. It's just one red flag after another, and the only thing that I can think of is saying, good luck to you, man, because you're about to throw away a fucking marriage that you yourself fucked up. I mean, it's a two-way street. The girl cheated on him, and she came back because she was lonely, and she didn't realize she... You already know the story, dude. Come on, how many fucking pop videos have we all seen where the woman comes back because she realizes that, you know, the only thing that the Chad wanted was just, you know, side pussy. He didn't really want anything serious. And then she comes back, you know, because the grass wasn't greener on the other side. And he never let it go. That betrayal lasted with him forever. And so he's trying to do things to assure his security for the relationship. It's like I said before. When a woman has sex with a man, the first thing that comes to her mind is now she's entitled to his money and his security. His ability to provide security. Right? She feels entitled to that. Because, that's her man. And the first thing that comes to a man's mind is loyalty and, the ability to secure that relationship. So some amount of control, right? Those are the first two things that come to a man's mind when they both nut together. Like, I'm entitled to telling you who not to hang out with. And the first thing that a woman says, you know, that a broken woman would say is like, no, you don't tell me who to hang out with and what to do to talk to and all this other shit, right? Well, then that's when you pull your fucking finances... Or excuse me, that's when you pull out your security. No, I'm not giving you fucking security. And if she wants to have fucking guy friends and shit, then it's like, no, then I'm not giving you finances and we're just here to fuck. And this is after respect and rapport has already been established, by the way.
If there's no respect and you guys are fucking, then you guys are just fuck buddies. That's so, it's the one thing I told my ex is like, you respect your fuck buddy more than you respect me. Or you respected your fuck buddy more than you respected me because you knew that all you guys were doing was fucking. But because you have a relationship with me, suddenly you feel entitled to destroying and demeaning and belittling and shitting on me because I'm your boyfriend. It doesn't work like that. And now I'm the one who's telling you I'm entitled to securing my relationship. And if that to you is a problem, then get the fuck out of my life. And she just like recoiled, like, holy fuck.
I don't know if I could live by that standard. It's so, I don't know, it just feels like I'm boxed in.
Then that means you're not ready for a relationship. That means we're just here to fuck, so let's just fuck. There's nothing wrong with that. And then we could take it a step above when you're ready. But in the meantime, let me fucking get my rocks off instead of wasting my fucking time.
I can't do that. I need a bond.
Okay, well then you can bond with my dick in your mouth. And if you can't do that, then we can't talk. I don't want to share emotions. I don't want to share fucking memories. I don't want to do any of that gay ass shit. It's fucking lame. That shit is fucking so gay. I swear to God, bro. That is the gayest fucking shit on planet Earth, is sitting there trying to fucking create bond and memory with the chick you're only fucking. How about this? You guys aren't even fucking. What the fuck? With the chick with 3 kids? With another guy's name tattooed on her? Get the fuck out of here. No. I'm not doing that. Get the guy's name removed. Fucking, you know, at the very least, you know, promise me that we're gonna have fucking kids together. And maybe I'll consider fucking giving you a relationship and creating memories and all this bullshit, right? But until then, no. Go fuck yourself. I can hear a lot of you guys in the comment section, but why the fuck would you create a fuck? She's already got kids. She's already broken. You don't understand, dude. Well, no, you do understand. What the fuck? I love the girl. Loved the girl. I no longer love her. She was a good woman. Was a good woman. But her inability to, how do I explain this? Her inability to grow up, and she would give her fuck buddies the honor and privileges that she should have given her serious relationships. She gave them respect more than she gave me, and those are broken people. They're fucking broken. They see the world through a different set of lenses. They treat strangers with more respect than they do you. That's a problem. If they listen to their friends than they do you, that's a problem. So for my ex, right, to say all this shit and do all this shit, it bothered me. Because she was giving other people more than she was giving me. And I couldn't handle that. I wasn't going to fucking deal with that. I wasn't going to fucking put up with that dumb bullshit. Let some dumb bitch fucking give another guy more love and validation and attention. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not going to let you get away with that. You mean you're going to treat him with more respect and dignity than you're going to treat me? Absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, in order to fucking redeem and some sort of recompense here, put my dick in your mouth. Oh, you're not going to do it? Then I'm withdrawing my fucking attention and my time. Good day. Goodbye. Like, the ultimate form of apology is my fucking dick being blown and you saying sorry and never repeating that bullshit again. Can't do it? Oh, you need, because you need more fucking information about, you know, about me? You need to be able to build more of a bond with me? Sorry, the only bond that you're going to be able to create is with more trauma. I'm good. I don't need that. And time and time again, dude, my buddy, he tells me shit like this, right? And I can hear it in his voice that he's desperate to try to build another human connection with another human being. And it fucking kills me. It fucking kills me, dude. Because I know what the truth is. I know what's going to come out of this. He's not going to make it. He can't even hold his marriage together. His picker is fucking destroyed. He picks horrible fucking women to be with. Women that are already as broken as he is. I keep telling him, dude, you need to fix yourself before you go back out there. And he's just like, oh, well, I found out what the problem was. Like, he treats his fucking problems like a mechanic, I swear to God. Well, I figured out what the problem was, so, like, have you addressed it? Have you put in the repetitions that it takes to fix it? Well, no, not yet, but I'm sure, you know, that shit will fix itself. All right, man. I just, like, laughed that shit off. Like, dude, you're fucking funny. I finally figured out that emotions are, like, working out. You gotta put in the repetitions in order to be a success. And my buddy is just one of those types of dudes where he's just not gonna do that. So you just gotta let him be, you know? But watching him pick this fucking other chick that he just met at the bar fucking kills me. And he, you know, he did the exact same, or she, sorry, excuse me. The girl who picked my buddy at the bar, she used the exact same emotional intelligence, you know, talking that this dumb bitch is suggesting in the beginning of the video. She was being emotionally intelligent, which, in other words, trying to articulate pain. Trying to articulate what empathizing. Remember what I told you is that empathy is a weapon? It is the greatest weapon that a man can have? That's exactly what she's telling you to do. Go use empathy to fucking, to just, go use empathy to talk to your bitch. To empathize with her pain. Don't do that. If she's broken, don't do that. Now, here's the other side, right? She's a good woman, she's been there, she's struggling, and she's all of a sudden she's coming up to you saying, look, we've been through a lot together, and of course a lot of us, you know, have never gone through this. But this is a hypothetical. If you guys have been through the thick and thin and she listens and she's submissive and she's caring and she's just always fucking there. And she comes up to you with a problem and says, you know, hey, you know what, man? Like, I feel like I'm not good enough to be your wife. I'll try to find the clip. I'll try to find it. But it was Sean Ryan who said, my wife one day, when I came back from my trip, like his mushroom trip, I realized that my wife was judging everyone and she was shitting on everybody, and I realized that I was the one who created that because I was judgmental. And so she started to follow my lead. And she picked up all those characteristics from me. And I have a whole nother video to talk about that. But now that I fucking trailed off here. This video is an hour long and I need to get ready. I think right now would be a good time to end this. So, until then, guard your heart.